saw that with my governor here, Nikki Haley. I was on Nikki's first race when she ran for the state house. That's when everyone said she would never win and that she should probably just go home. We learned early on that she would be standing alone a lot, so she had to be comfortable with taking credit for what she had done in business and in her other world, the political, the social, the, you know, the school mom. The fact is, Nikki could relate her skills not in business as she also moved to the state house and ultimately the governor of our great state. The fact is, she used her language of the common person in our state, along with her faith language, to tell them that she was one of them and she understood the concerns of a small state that has great needs. Other words that candidates and I think handlers need to use and I encourage is the word competent. I feel very strong that that word gives people a feeling of safety. You know, greatly needed by the voting public right now. She's a competent leader. We've already discussed the word qualified. You must use that, and you must have others say that in your behalf. I also like the word experienced. It's that old concept of been there, done that, and was successful. So I also like the word or the phrase, she has a record of accomplishment. And when you get to that phrase, let me encourage you to learn to list them out. I'm going to ask your campaigner for you to think of 6 to 9 words that are short and simple that you can give a story about. And then when you are speaking, you give 3 at a time. We know our audience thinks in threes. So the fact that you have different words occasionally but are used over and over, you are putting your skills and qualification in the minds of the voters who will vote for you. I really like the word honest. You know, women are perceived as being more honest, so I think we should use the word often in our campaign literature. I like the word fair. You know, fair, equal, the word balance. And many people find that as an admirable trait in leadership, that they are a fair and balanced person. It's a good word for you to use. Now, I'm always careful with the word reasonable. I have a little caution there. I think it works very well locally. I'm not sure it works well nationally because both parties demand a loyalty. And although you like to claim that you're reasonable, the reality is I think it's a little tough, especially on the national level. So for local campaigns, it's a great word for you to use. Other words like success and achievement. She's accomplished, experienced, skilled, skillful, knowledgeable, winner, proficient, professional, expert, competent, capable, well-informed, educated, front-runner, leader, talented, gifted, adept. I like the phrase, she's an old soul. She's great authority, efficient, well-versed, equal, fit, good, successful, makes the grade every time. She's effective and has great depth. A woman who has great depth is one that people will focus and listen to. The fact is, beyond the words you use, be very careful that your language does not become strident. Too many women get into the race with a very fresh face, and then the battles begin, and they become cold and somewhat hard as a protection. And the tone and tenor in their voice will belie the stress of the battle. And that is when your snarky self will come out, and you'll say something you regret. Be careful of your words. Hard to do, but I know that with training, you'll become quite the affable, friendly demeanor, with a smile and a strong carriage to move past the battles of the day, with words that ring true, even in tough times. I'm a Republican, and I see and hear that my party is struggling because we need to change the tone and tenor of our message. It's an old line. It's, you know, not what you say, but what they hear. And our rhetoric for many sounds very harsh. I think for our party to move, some changes must be made. Let me close my time with a couple more thoughts and words that I think it's important. I do believe as a candidate in your team that surrounds you, friends, you must learn to label yourself, and then others will follow and repeat your message. Words that you're qualified, that you're competent, you've got great experience, that you're honest, and that you're fair. And the reason that the city, state, nation would do better if you were in office is because they've elected someone who speaks their language and also gives them the confidence because of the words you've used to describe yourself and others have described you as somebody who is qualified to lead us in the right direction. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Deb. Look forward to hearing from Mark, who I know has some videos to share with us.
And a reminder to folks also on the phone, this is Adrian Kimmel from the Barbara Lee Family Foundation, to turn up the volume on your speaker so you can hear Mark's ads, which he'll be playing via the PowerPoint.
This is Mark Putnam, and I'm honored to be here today. I'm going to quickly go through just a few points and then start hopefully illustrating them with the television ads. As you've heard, it's important to show your qualifications, your confidence, your competence, your experience. The report that Kate has written is really terrific. I recommend that all of you read it all the way through. She goes on to talk about some specific ideas like communicating how you've taken on insiders, given that women have a natural strength as being seen as an outsider. Also, there's a lot of emphasis in the report on being likable. Now, don't just tell people that you are competent or experienced or that you've done these things. Sometimes it's in the nonverbal as well. It's how you carry yourself. It's the stories that you tell. It's how you present your own life, not just in your advertising but on the stump. And the reservations among voters that a woman candidate faces is further burdened by the skepticism and cynicism that voters already feel about political candidates and political advertising. So being true to Deb's rule of three, I do have three critical imperatives for any political ad, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican running. If you have a media consultant, I would hope that you would demand these three things of your consultant. First, first rule for me is capture my candidate's personality. That's really paramount. From Kate's report, she talks about how the two top dominant dimensions that women are judged on are being results-oriented and being charismatic and likable. And really, the only way you can do that is to capture your personality as a candidate. That's why I shy away from narrators in a lot of my advertising. There's always a time to break that rule, and you'll see actually an ad that does have a narrator for most of it. But I still want to try and have my candidate speaking in the ads, especially with women. Women can be great on camera with coaching, and when you're working with a director, make sure you let them do more than one or two takes. The more takes you do with a candidate speaking to camera, the more comfortable they become. And I think that's really important. Rule number two, I have to get people to pay attention to the ad for 30 seconds. Where there's so much clutter out there on the air, your advertising needs to be interesting, different, compelling, humorous, emotional, also that voters can get a sense of your personality and your character traits. TV is an affective medium or an emotional medium, so make the most of that. And for me, that usually starts with telling a story. And most of the ads that I'm going to show you make use of storytelling techniques. And the third imperative is communicate specifics. Generalities tend to turn voters off. I can't tell you how many focus groups I've been in where people get turned off if they don't hear specific solutions to problems. It's not just listing bullet points or reciting a resume in a bio ad, but specifics do need to be communicated, but in as an engaging way as possible. So let's go to the first ad. The first one I want to show you is from Heidi Heitkamp's campaign. I'm going to show you four ads from her campaign. If you're interested, someone's going to talk to you at the end about how you can send an email and request the entire Heidi Heitkamp campaign. I put together a private YouTube reel of all 20 ads that we aired for her over the course of the entire campaign. If you would like to see all of them, you can. You can see how we really had a narrative arc throughout the campaign. But it all started with this first ad. It's a great example of telling her personal story. We didn't worry about trying to tell her entire story. We just wanted to start the conversation with voters, and we wanted her to appear confident and likable. Especially at the end, you'll see this idea of confidence. And we aired this at the same time that we were running ads that stressed her experience in the energy industry and as Attorney General. So let's go ahead and play the first ad.
I grew up in a big family in a small town. Some people don't think it's much, but to us, it's home. Mom was a school janitor. Dad never finished high school. He used to work out on these roads. And they believed in us. All seven kids went to college. I worked my way through on a road construction crew. I'm Heidi Heitkamp, and I approve this message because Washington can learn from places like North Dakota, and they'll get to hear that from me.
Okay, now there's a paragraph in Kate's report where she talks about a successful profile of a woman candidate focuses on issue expertise and qualifications, followed by previous experience in elected office. And we went on to do that in one television ad called Never Wait, where we talked about her battle to basically ensure that sex offenders and child sex offenders and predators of children were locked up for life, and the battle she had to take that she had to do against the legislature to get that done. We had another ad about her experience as a director of a Dakota gasification plant. I mean, politically in North Dakota, it was a good idea for her as a Democrat to talk about energy issues, but we also wanted to show that she had the experience and the qualifications on that issue. And then we had another ad about called Land Grab, where we talked about her taking on the EPA and Fish and Wildlife Service when they were seizing farmers' land. All of this was to show that she was qualified, that she had real experience, and that she was a fighter for North Dakotans. We also introduced the personal side of her, and we introduced her family. You'll see in this next ad, actually, I take that back. The next ad is called 12 Years. This, we were being attacked by 12 different IE organizations, everybody from Crossroads to the Chamber of Commerce to the NRSC, and we knew that we were going to be attacked on Heidi's support for Obamacare. But we let the first couple ads go by. We didn't want the whole campaign to be about health care. But when the third ad came out, it was a pretty good ad, and it talked about how she was going to take away seniors' health care and submit them to health care panels. We knew we had to respond to that one. So we started with telling a story. We wanted to show confidence that she wasn't rattled by the attacks. That's a very important point for women candidates, to not ever appear rattled or bothered by outside attacks or attacks from your opponent. And we wanted to really draw people in with her own personal story, which you'll see at the beginning of the set. So let's go ahead and play the second.
Hi, I'm Thomasine.
Hi, I'm Holly.
Melanie.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Joel Heitkamp, and we want to tell you about our sister, Heidi.
This is not good.
A house with seven kids.
All born within 9 years.
Five of us slept in one bedroom.
My bedroom was the laundry room.
Heidi's chore was the laundry.
Whose idea was this whole thing?
Heidi would start the suds saver to keep the clothes white and grab a book.
She'd mound the clothes up so high.
What is this laundry thing?
She would be in there buried reading book after book.
Pretending that she was working.
And it was the folding that was more the problem.
Who needs folded clothes? Just come in and made up your own socks.
Heidi was really good at staying out of trouble.
She was really good in school.
Coming from a big family,
she always cared about everyone around her.
She has the art of compromise.
She was so good,
it was almost annoying.
And that's my sister Heidi.
She's gonna be a great senator.
She's gonna be a great senator.
I'm Heidi Heitkamp, and I can't believe I approved this message.
Okay, that's not the ad I was expecting. Hopefully we can go and play 12 Years in a moment. I think we somehow jumped from the first to the third, but I'll tell you a little bit about that ad. That was a 60-second ad that was to show likability, tell a little personal story. We never actually aired that on the air. We didn't have enough resources to run a 60-second spot, so we ended up using this online and got quite a few views online. But I hope we're able to go back and play 12 Years. This is the ad that was responding to the healthcare attack.
I'm Heidi Heitkamp, and 12 years ago, I beat breast cancer. When you live through that, political attack ads seem silly. I would never vote to take away a senior's health care or limit anyone's care. There's good and bad in the health care law, and it needs to be fixed. But Rick Berg voted to go back to letting insurance companies deny coverage to kids or for pre-existing conditions. I approve this message because I don't ever want to go back to those days.
So that was an example of telling a story, not being rattled by an attack, having specifics in the ad about what she supported in the law and what Rick Berg was against. The next ad was a critical ad in the campaign. It's called Batting Cage. And again, we were under this barrage of attacks. We had to discredit the attacks, but at the same time not lose the qualities that voters liked, that she was likable, yet she was tough, that she'd stand up to the special interests and the insiders, and that she was unflappable, and she didn't take herself too seriously. Now, self-deprecation is a very likable quality in a candidate, yet it's very tricky for women candidates to pull this off. I did the advertising for Bill Richardson's presidential campaign after doing his gubernatorial campaign, and there's a series of ads we did called the Job Interview Series. If you type in on YouTube, Bill Richardson Job Interview, you'll see the ads. Easier for a man to make fun of himself in that way, but Heidi is still able to just demonstrate by just the fact that she's in an ad like this that she doesn't take herself too seriously, but that she's going to be tough and a fighter for North Dakota. So let's go ahead and play Batting Cage if we could.
When I decided to run for the Senate, I knew they'd try and hit me with all sorts of stuff.
I'm Heidi Heitkamp, and I could spend the whole campaign answering negative ads that aren't true. They're all paid for by a few billionaires who want to keep their tax breaks for shipping jobs overseas. And they know that if I'm in the Senate, I won't let them. I'm not willing to trade away your Medicare, your jobs, for more tax breaks for billionaires. I approve this message because I'm just getting warmed up.
If we had more time, I could tell you a little bit about the tracking polls when that ad went on the air. But basically, we were locked in a tie in our tracking for weeks and weeks. But when that ad went on the air, we opened up a statistically significant lead. And then when we took it down off the air, the lead closed back to a tie again, and then we put it back on at the end, and she ended up winning by, as some of you know, very close race, 3,000 votes, 1% of the vote. I want to jump to Kamala Harris. Kamala is the Attorney General in California. This ad is a good example of using validators. We have quotes from endorsing third parties that we presented as headlines in the ad. We also use strong visuals to communicate her crime-fighting expertise. The interesting thing about this ad is how we were fighting both a primary battle where we were having to get progressives to vote for Kamala, while at the same time we were setting ourselves up for the general election. So if you listen to the ad, you're going to hear in the narration, and this is the ad that does have narration, talking. The specifics include environmental justice, early intervention to prevent crime, more progressive ideas about crime fighting, while visually we are presenting her for the general election with tough-on-crime scenes, showing her as very professional in a courtroom with police. And a lot of these scenes have become cliches in political advertising, so we're trying to do them in as interesting and as dynamic a way as possible to try and break out of that typical cliche attorney general crime-fighting ad. And then at the end of the ad, you'll see there's more third-party validation with a list of newspaper endorsements. So let's go ahead and play the drastic repair ad.
She's California's most innovative district attorney. Kamala Harris created a long-overdue child assault unit, the first-ever environmental justice unit, a national model for early intervention, and dramatically higher conviction rates for violent crime.
Our justice system needs drastic repair. Early intervention leaves room in our prisons for the violent criminals who should be there. I did it in San Francisco. As Attorney General, I can do it across California.
And I have two more ads to show you, so I'm going to go through them quickly so we have time for questions. The next ad is for Stephanie Hirsess-Sandlin. This is a spot called Corey. It's another type of third-party validation. This time it's a personal testimonial. These have become very overused, honestly, over the years with the typical talking head interview, talking to the unseen interviewer. So the challenge is to do this sort of an ad in a fashion that's compelling and attention-getting, and tells a story and gives some insight into the candidate. In this one, Stephanie doesn't speak anything more than the approval line. We really are turning over the storytelling to the wife of this soldier. But this is, again, a good example of how you can tell stories and use real people to validate your candidacy and your campaign.
My husband, Corey, remembers serving in Iraq, but he doesn't remember the roadside bomb. They thought Corey wouldn't make it. It was Stephanie who got us to his bedside. When the Minneapolis VA gave him substandard care, she got him into the best rehab in the country. And Stephanie stood up to the Department of Defense when it tried to shortchange his retirement. She was there when no one else was.
I'm Stephanie Hirsess-Sandlin, and I approve this message for every veteran and their family.
The last ad I'm going to show you is more of a fun ad. This is for Allison Lundigan Grimes, who is the new Secretary of State in Kentucky. This advertisement was widely credited with her winning by a 5-point greater margin than any of the other Democrats who won that year. She won with 60% of the vote, and the governor and the attorney general and others were in the 55% range. And it's because the ad was very memorable. We show her as likable. We show her family. Character traits like respect for elders is something that's very resonant with voters, and that's what we show in this ad. It's an ad with Allison and her two grandmothers. And so what I really like about this ad is it's three strong women in one TV ad. So let's go ahead and play Allison's ad.
This is our granddaughter, Allison Lundigan Grimes.
It's a long name.
She's running for Secretary of State, and we're writing her TV ads.
Sorry.
She thinks businesses should have one website to get all the permits and licenses.
I got that idea from you and Grandpa in your clothing store.
Her Kentucky First program will help local businesses learn how to get state contracts.
So we keep the jobs here.
State government should either help create jobs or get out of the way. What rhymes with Allison Lundgren Grimes?
Oh, such a long name.
Now, if you go on YouTube and type in Allison Lundgren Grimes making of Elsie and Selma, you'll see about a 5-minute long video of what it took to make that ad. Her grandmothers were 82 and 92. The grandmother on the right was 92 years old. She actually passed away just a few months after the election, but I know she was very proud to be able to help her granddaughter. So hopefully that all made sense, and I look forward to any questions if you have some.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. This is Erin Souza Resendiz from the Barbara Lee Family Foundation. And Wendy, our moderator, we're happy to open it up to questions. We know that time is short, so if we are unable to get to all the questions, please feel free to send questions to info@blff.org, and we'll do our best to get back to you with answers from our experts. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. To join the question and answer session queue live, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll announce each caller prior bringing you into the conference. Please remember that if you do have your phone on mute, that you please take it off mute when you're selected to ask your question. To ask a question via the web presentation, select the chat pod located in the lower left corner of your screen and then type and send your question that way. So once again, to ask a question live, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this time, we don't have any live callers or any in the chat pod. So do you want to take back over? I can let you know if we get any questions. And we do have one live caller. This is Donna.
Great.
Go ahead, Donna.
This is Donna McAleer from Park City, Utah. Thank you so much for all this incredible information. I'm curious, for women candidates who did not succeed in this election, how do you stay relevant and focused and in the media and concerning? I ran in the most conservative district in the country. Many of these principles we adhere to. I received endorsements from the paper by far as the better qualified candidate, but in a very conservative area, what kept coming up was, despite being a West Point graduate, an Army veteran, a business executive, a not-for-profit director, a mother, a wife, all these things, that I had no legislative experience, and that the entrenched incumbent in a Republican, conservative, Mormon district was better qualified. Those were the qualifications.
Thank you so much. And our next live caller is Eleanor.
Oh, we wanted to make sure we get an answer to that question. Do any of our presenters have anything they would like to weigh in on that question about?
I'll be happy to. It's Deb Sofield. You know, for her to stay relevant, she needs to still stay active. It's awfully hard to show back up again. It would be ideal if you keep writing. Maybe op-ed to the newspaper, get your blog out there, start talking, still take up speaking engagements, let them know you are still here, let the candidate who did win know that you'll be monitoring his record, and keep talking. If you disappear, then, friends, you will completely disappear.
And this is Mark. I don't know how often there are initiatives and referenda in Utah, but if you're able to, you know, get behind some sort of legislative action as a citizen, that's something nice that you can point towards. It honestly sounds like you were in just a really tough district. Your background is, as a Democrat, I can tell you, I love working for candidates with your background, especially the military background, combined with being a parent, combined with the business experience. Those are the sorts of credentials that many voters do look for. They like people with real-world experience. I honestly, you know, it might have just been the race you were in. I don't know, you know, what the fundraising disparity might have been. I don't know if you're how you were communicating with voters. Sometimes it's not the candidate. It's just, you know, what sort of campaign were you able to run? So if you're interested in running again, I would urge you to, you know, look at that early. Do your fundraising as early. Start that as early as you can. Every day that you don't fundraise is a day you lose forever. There are a lot of things you can make up quickly in a campaign, but you can't make up for lost fundraising. So I don't know if that was a piece of this, but, you know, my first advice to anyone looking at running is, A, figure out how you're going to be able to raise the money. I know it sounds cynical, but that is the imperative. You have to be able to tell people that background. You have to be able to communicate that. Communicate who you are, what you're like, what your priorities are. There are ways for you to stay engaged on issues, but there's also ways that you can set up your campaign to be, you know, have a better chance of success the next time around.
I would say one other quick thought in terms of messaging and presenting yourself. It sounds like you may want to draw upon your military background and experience and align yourself with an issue that's related to your experience that will connect you with the voters in Utah. So perhaps there's something that you can do on behalf of veterans or on behalf of military families that will allow you to legitimately be out in the public eye as well as defining yourself.
Right. This is Barbara. Again, people can run and lose a race and still be considered winners, and people love it when they see somebody who picked themselves up and get going again. So it's a very important trait for people to have, and it really draws more people to you when they see you out there working for the greater good.
We have a few questions from the web. Soraya asks, I think this is for Chris, what could Rick Perry have done to get out of the brain freeze situation? Was he not prepared, or was it just a brain freeze?
Well, it's one of those moments we can all empathize with, right? It's the thing we dread that will happen to us. You go completely blank while standing on stage in front of a room full of people. It was interesting. The Washington Post did a story the day after the debate, and they interviewed neurologists. And the neurologist had some advice. They said it's oftentimes, interestingly enough, very difficult to recall simple nouns because they represent more complex ideas or institutions. And I tell you what, don't set yourself up for failure with a list. Now, most people can remember three things, particularly if it's a cornerstone of their campaign. But if you have a list that's longer than three, you are asking for trouble. And the other thing that really could have been his saving grace, you know, I just can't understand why he didn't have notes with him. He could have easily had note cards on the lectern in front of him. And when he lost his place, when his mind went blank, he could have just glanced down at his note card and the answer would have been right there. So a couple of things to think about.
I have one final question. I think we only have time for one more. Michelle O'Donnell Keating, who's from Ireland and suggests that there is transferable information for abroad, asks, what is the advice for newer candidates in terms of building qualification?
This is Mark. I mean, it really does all involve figuring out what your strengths are, what your interests are, and going, you know, developing them, whether it be through education and then getting involved in your community. I think any first-time candidate, you know, you need to be out there. You need to be talking to voters or just your fellow citizens and finding out what's on their minds in the community, and then figuring out solutions and just, you know, applying forward. There's no magic formula for any candidate really in any country, but it all starts with being involved in your community and understanding the concerns that people have and being able to reflect them in your own remarks and how you describe the problems and how you address them.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark. I think this is probably the last question. We're out of time, but wanted to call your attention to the fact that we at the Barbara Lee Family Foundation produced a short video where we took these pitch-perfect recommendations that you heard about today and showed examples of ads who are putting them into practice. And you will see a few familiar ads that Mark produced that actually showed today. It's available on our website at barbaraleefoundation.org, and it's also on Barbara Lee's Facebook page. We hope you'll continue the conversation at Pitch Perfect Politics as well on Twitter.
Great. And so this is Barbara again, and I just want to thank you all for being on the call, and especially Kate, Chris, Deb, and Mark. You did a fantastic job for us. And as much as we are kind of immersed in the research, always add so much richness and depth to the conversation, and to have special speakers like you. So we thank you so much, and thank you all for joining in with us today. Hashtag PitchPerfectPolitics, or visit our website, BarbaraLeeFoundation.org. So thank you once again, everyone, and looking forward to having you on a call again in the future.